Welcome back. Bellows Unplugged on 660 AM, 94.5 FM, KCRO, Christian Radio for Omaha, Nebraska, the intersection of faith and reason on the Salem Broadcast Network. And, you know, there are some issues that just are, they're hard to even comprehend. You make you wonder sometime, how many countries do we have in the United States today? I thought we only had two, but I'm thinking we might actually have three, okay? And I'm not thinking that's a really good thing. But as I get into the understanding of what's going on, and if it had not been for the following people that are on the show today, I wouldn't know, really. I mean, I try to keep up with everything, and I don't. But this is a relatively big elephant in the living room. If you're a parent in Omaha, Nebraska, and you have children that either go to the Omaha Public Schools or know kids who do or may go to the OPS at some point, fortunately for us, Omaha seems to be still a place where citizens stand up and create a boundary and back put their backs to the wall and say, we're not going any further on a particular issue. And I think that's what's happened here. And what I'm referring to, of course, is the Comprehensive Sex Education Act in the Omaha Public Schools. And I'm going to throw the floor now to my good friend, respected colleague, Dave Meyer, who has been instrumental in taking this on both in Omaha at the public school level and in the unicameral in Lincoln. Dave, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you today, and I wish it could be under more positive circumstances, but we've got some work to do, don't we, in this particular area?
Yes, we do, Clint. Thank you so much on behalf of our team. We're the SOS squad is kind of what we call ourselves, the Sex Out of School Squad. But I've got a really good core team here today that are going to help bring some real perspective to this issue that I think our listeners will really appreciate. I have Maris Bentley. She's a teacher, retired teacher, school counselor, just a dear woman of God. And John Dockery, who's a retired, just a really solid citizen, been a strong listener of this radio station for many years, has five children. Both of these are just dear Catholics that I have come to know and just love the Lord. And then Alethea Larson, who is a mother as well of five children and is trained in counseling as well. And they have been a part of our SOS squad. And when we learned knowledge of what was going on here locally and how it related to the state, we started doing some research.
And you were, as I recall, when you and I first started talking about this months ago, you were distraught, Dave, frankly. You were shocked by what you saw, and it moved you to action. And Dave Meyer's a guy, by the way, who just does stuff. He's not a he can speak, as I know you know now, but he's a doer. And I don't know where the guy gets the energy. He's got 100 different projects going on simultaneously in at least 17 different places. And they all benefit other people. He is really one of my heroes, so I would like to get that in. Having said that, you couldn't do what you're doing without the efforts of the three colleagues that you have here today. And I'd like to start, if I might, with Maris, as long as you're second on the... we've got a full studio here today, so I'd like to get your take on what's happened so far, Maris, where do we go from here? We got this meeting on the 20th at 32nd and Cumming.
Correct.
The old Tech High School building now, the Omaha Public School Administrators building, where 9,000 administrators are busy watching out for our children's welfare. You taught in the school system. What's your worldview on this? Are the kinds of things we're talking about under comprehensive... Why don't I ask you first, what is comprehensive sex education as envisioned by the Omaha Public Schools, Maris?
Well, I'm very grateful for being here, by the way, that we can let the listeners know about what's going on in Omaha, and we're hoping that an army of Christians is going to rise up against this, because this comprehensive sex education. You know, simply put, I would just say it's mostly pornography. Our group has actually purchased on our own a copy of the curriculum that OPS has been considering. Now, they are not very forthcoming about exactly what they're going to be using, or forthcoming about sharing it with the community, which right off the bat, that should be a big red flag for everybody. Why are they not showing this to parents, showing this to the community, so that parents and the community will know what OPS is proposing to teach to the young people? So we purchased a copy of it ourselves, and like I said, it is really, it's pornography. And it proposed to give to feed to this garbage to the young people and call it sex education.
Well, you know, the late Supreme Court Justice, I think it was Potter Stewart, said, I don't know how to define pornography, but I know it when I see it.
Exactly.
We need to talk about what it is, and you don't have to get into the very graphic details, but who is this directed at? Would an 8-year-old child in the Omaha Public Schools get instruction, for example, on alternative sexual lifestyles?
Well, again, we don't know exactly what they're planning. Because, again, they're not forthcoming. But comprehensive sex education itself is deemed to be K through 12. So potentially, yes, beginning in at the kindergarten level all the way through high school. And I'm going to give you, at some point, some specifics of what's in this curriculum. And I think our listeners will be shocked to hear what's in this, even for the very young ages.
Alethea, you'd like to chime in?
Yes, thank you. My name is Alethea.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Many people mispronounce it, but thank you so much for having us on here today. And I would just like to add the comprehensive sexuality education. When we think of comprehensive, it's everything you'd want to know about sex. So when you're introducing it at such young ages, that's concerning.
Absolutely.
As a parent.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you can make a lot of jokes about these kinds of things, or ha-ha, snicker-snicker. There are some things that are better left to the realm of the family discussion.
Right.
And
yes.
We used to call this a discussion of the birds and bees.
Right.
And until I was 27, I didn't know what my mother and father meant. But I was a slow learner. John, would you like to chime in on that note?
Well, yeah, I'm the same thing. I'm older than you are, so...
I don't think so, but that's okay.
But, yeah, our major thrust here is to protect our children.
Yes.
And I have 5 kids of my own, and I can't even imagine one of my kids... you know, when you drop them off at school... You think they're going to be safe, and you don't worry about them until you come back and pick them up. We all got busy lives, working and whatnot. But really what concerns me is the way that this is going to be taught. The content is bad enough, but our educators under this new comprehensive plan have their arms tied behind their back in that they can't show any bias. So if on these controversial subjects, particularly the ones that they've specified that they want to add to their curriculum, abortion, contraception, LGBT, and gender identity, if a teacher is in a fourth grade class and they want to discuss these topics, they just throw the topic out there and then sit back and let the kids comment about their experience on whatever the topic may be. So kids are going to be teaching kids. This non-biasness actually frees the teachers up more to present these subjects. But the sad part is the kids get no direction. So in the future, where kids used to be expected to abstain from sexual activity, they're no longer expected to abstain. And as a matter of fact, with many of the lifestyles, they're encouraged to experiment with others, with themselves, their own bodies. So this is very frightening to me when I think of now my grandchildren being in this scenario when at the latency period in a child's life, which is from 5 to 9 years old, children are naturally separated from the opposite sex in terms of their thinking and their relationships and whatnot. And in order in forcing all of this deluge of sexual information on them at a time in their life where they're supposed to be tranquil, and it's at one of the highest learning points in their life, they are confused by all of this emphasis on sex education. And if there was ever an example of too much information on a subject, it has got to be this.
Dave, who's pushing this? Where does this start? I mean, who are the warped individuals? I'm sorry, I'm going to be that candid about it. Who want to? Let me give our listeners a list of some of these things that John just talked about. They can't show bias, as he said. It frees them to predict abortion, birth control, masturbation, homosexual acts, sex outside of marriage, cohabitation. Plus, at what ages or circumstances it's acceptable to start having sex. Students are no longer expected to abstain from sexual activity and are taught to question themselves and, as John said, experiment, whatever that means, with their own bodies. Now, two things that don't seem to have found their way to the curriculum vitae are natural virtues and purity. No moral compass. I don't think OPS's leadership could find its back pocket with either hand, Dave. I don't think I want to give them this kind of power over my children and grandchildren. Who started this mess?
I'm going to actually defer that to my queen expert on this area, to Alethea. I certainly have my opinion, but she's done a lot of research.
Let's hear it, Alethea.
All righty. It's actually started by a national organization called SECAS, which stands for Sexuality Information Education Council of the United States. Okay, this organization was started by Mary Calderon, who was the first medical director of Planned Parenthood. And throughout my 4 weeks of research, I was able to see Planned Parenthood laced through every single advocacy group, every single education sponsor of this, one of them being Answer, and all the way through it, it's Planned Parenthood. And I tell you, the initial funding came from Playboy magazine, and we could go on and on, but to tell you the truth, this organization is rotten to the core.
And Clint, I would add that, again, the roots of this in Planned Parenthood in 1986, the president of Planned Parenthood stated that one of their goals was to get K-12 sex education mandated in all the schools.
Yeah.
Okay, and also under SECAS, they established the Sex Ed Library. SexEdLibrary.org, that's an open website for anybody to go to. You can find it online, and that hosts pretty much every curriculum that educators are encouraged to access regarding what to teach children about sexuality under the guise of education.
Can you cite that again for our listeners? They might be able to write that down. Or
it's sexedlibrary.org.
Wow. This is amazing. I had no idea until I was like 19. So I seem to turn out okay. I don't understand why we need to be thrusting this on our kids. I got to be honest with you. I'm a layperson. You folks are the experts on this, but I like John's comment about the latency period and about how great it was to be a kid and to play in the backyard and to have your doll or have your bow and arrow or whatever other politically incorrect implement you were using in the backyard with your buddies, to go play baseball in the park, to not look at an electronic device all day and to not see images of naked people running around doing things to each other. As the Godfather said that day in the conference room when he was meeting with the other four heads of the five families in the movie Godfather, how did it get so far, okay? Mm-hmm. How did it get so far? And where do we begin to draw the line? And, Morris, I have a feeling you have a take on this. And I'm going to ask you for that. We're running a little late on our break. The time is 3:50. This is important information. We're with the SOS crowd today. We're delighted to be sending out an SOS. This is KCRO AM and FM in Omaha, Nebraska, 660 94.5, Bellows Unplugged. back in a moment talking about those rocket scientists that are running the Omaha public school system today. Well, super producer Nick Burris, you're listening to Bellows Unplugged. Clint Bellows with you today. And while other people are winding down for the weekend, we are getting charged up this afternoon at 660 AM 94.5 FM. Go to kcro.com on our website if you've got your handheld device. Click the Listen Live link in the upper right-hand corner of the website page, and you'll see somebody that looks a little like me. That's not me. It's an imposter. You will be able to hear these fine people that are with us today, and they are really, I'm proud of all four of them. Glad to have them here. Saul Alinsky, who is the mentor to Hillary and Barney Obama, wrote in his Rules for Radicals seven or eight basic constructs, and one of those constructs is you have to control what the children learn. You have to control the education. If you do that, the future belongs to whoever gets the kids thinking the way they want them to. Dave Meyer, that's what's going on here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, you've got a situation here where, you know, at the core of this, it's really divorcing the procreation part of our sexuality lifestyle and taking that out of the marriage equation. I mean, they're pursuing everything from a physical standpoint. And the emphasis is purely on pleasure and mutual consent. There's a situation that we've heard thus far that, the innocence of our children are at risk. And, you know, we're seeing that on many fronts. I mean, just here in the state, for the second time, they've reintroduced a transgender policy. You know, Bellevue Public Schools, in just this last week, passed that to where, you know, a young man wanted to play on the girls' volleyball team. He could do that. And because he's a transgender, and then he could go ahead and share the locker room. So innocence is under attack. And our real focus as a team here is that we truly believe every child needs to be protected so that they can have the opportunity to grow up and have a healthy life, and if they desire, a healthy marriage. And that's our primary focus.
Could you repeat that last line, Dave? What you just said, what is your primary focus here?
Our primary focus here is every child needs to be protected so that they can grow up to have a healthy life and, if so desired, a healthy marriage. And that's what this is all about. That's what the SOS Squad is all about. And you asked a few minutes ago, you know, where's some of the origin of this? And you heard from Planned Parenthood and Alethea. But it's stretched into here. This is not just an OPS issue. We're not going to dwell on that today, but this is a premise that's being pushed by the Nebraska Department of Education, the Education Committee of the Nebraska Unicameral that had a hearing last month. And they're focused to mandate this across the state. And so this issue is beyond, most think, well, this is just an OPS issue. Why should I worry about it? But the reality is the state wants to mandate it even in private schools and make accreditation a requirement based upon it. So this is a wake-up call. You know, the innocence is being robbed, and I think really what we need to do is give them a sense, well, you say innocence is being robbed. Well, give me some examples. And I'd like to turn it over to Maris and let her give you some specifics. Fortunately, you can't see anything because it would really cause your heart to burn, but just listening, I think, is going to have a similar impact.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give some specific examples from the FLASH curriculum. Now, again, this is the curriculum that OPS has indicated they are considering. Again, they're not forthcoming. Is this for sure going to, what parts of it? Because they're telling us, well, you know, they're not going to use all the parts of it.
They're going to use it all.
Well, and that's the thing. We have no control over that.
Liars and deceivers.
I agree.
And any questions?
No, so I'll go on.
Okay, please go on there.
Okay.
I promise to shut up.
So this is from the FLASH curriculum. I'm start with the young kids here, because remember, this is K through 12. So K through 4, the curriculum is called All About Life. And so for these youngest of children, we're talking 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, children, they are asked this question. If you could be born again and pick your gender, You would be, and then they have two choices, stay the same or change to the other gender. Now, can you imagine introducing this thought into these young minds about their questioning their own gender? I mean,
no.
It's mind-boggling to me. But yep. What it is, it's indoctrination. It's indoctrination. And then also, at again, this same level, words for body parts that, frankly, some of these words I didn't know until I was an adult. Okay, here's a few of them. Again, we're talking kindergarten through fourth graders. Scrotum, vulva, clitoris. And when we're talking this curriculum in the school systems, there is no separation of the boys and the girls when this information is presented to them. So the boys and the girls are both learning all these body parts and being able to identify them on drawings, on diagrams. Okay, so that's at the K through 4 level. Now at the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade level, we see this is where it's recommended the use of what we all consider to be a pornographic book. We've all seen it. We have a copy of it. It's called It's Perfectly Normal. Gay and lesbian information being presented to the children. By the way, I wanted to add that that book, It's Perfectly Normal, is actually in the OPS library as we speak.
It's perfectly awful.
Yes, it is perfectly awful.
I'll tell you what, Morris, if you can just hold for 1 second, I am going to go to a commercial break. I'd like you to come back and finish that list. We have all the time in the world to talk about this, so we're in no great hurry. Very important topic, folks. You need to be... Yeah, we're going to have to figure out, John, how to translate this to action. Maybe you can help us with that. Alethea, the same. This is the intersection of faith and reason, and wow, it's being tested today. The time is 4 o'clock. Saddle up your horses. The great Stephen Curtis Chapman song, The Great Adventure. And that's what we're all on. It's a better way to view life than simply to be stuck in the mud with our flesh and our sin. We're moving forward. We've got four great Omahans with us here today. We're talking about this comprehensive sex business in the Omaha Public Schools. We're here to protect the kids. These citizens and community leaders have come together. And it's an ecumenical effort. We have evangelicals, Catholics, Jews. We have all kinds of great people who are involved in this process, and it all comes down, at least for the time being, to a school board meeting on Tuesday night at 32nd and Cumming, where the old Tech High building, where we have 9,000 very important administrators all trying to come up with neat things for your kids to know. And what we've got is we've got psychologists, teachers, business people. We've got a wide variety of people that are involved in this, but what we're really saying is, you know, why, I guess another question is, why do we even need any of this stuff? I mean, you know, it's amazing to me. It is not acted to improve the sexual behavior of any of our children, okay? In fact, you might say, and I don't know if I could prove this, but if you talk about something long enough, you create a curiosity about it that leads to an exploration that often leads to quote-unquote unwanted children. And we've only had about 75 million plus abortions in this country since Roe v. Wade. We need to help people understand how they can procreate better, okay? No, we don't. Maureen Bentley, do you want to go back to that list that I so abruptly cut you off from?
Well, thank you. Yes. I was mentioning at the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade level this FLASH curriculum and what it consists of. And so for the fourth graders, they get to have fun playing a vocabulary bingo game. And let me give you some of the words that are on the bingo cards for these students. And so remember, these are words they're supposed to know the definitions of. And, you know, actually, maybe they would be using these as their spelling words, too. I don't know. But, okay, so here are some of those words. Genitals, anus, erection, ejaculation, nocturnal emission, intercourse, and clitoris. That's, and so you can imagine them spending that day in class playing vocabulary bingo using those words. Also, wow. Can I go on?
There's more.
Believe me.
For a change, I'm without words.
I know.
Keep going. Go ahead.
I'm going to actually jump to the 7th and 8th grade flash. I've spent a lot of time going page by page through these binders that hold this curriculum, and I continue to be shocked by what I'm finding. Sometimes I can't even sleep at night after what I've read, and as I contemplate that they want to give this information to young children. So at the 7th and 8th grade, middle school, okay, think in your mind, think about middle school students and what they look like and their characteristics, because I taught middle school the last 6 years before I retired. So at that age, they're giving them the definitions of oral, anal, and vaginal sex. Now, I'm not going to read the definition to you right now of anal sex, but they give them the definition of that act so that they know what that looks like, essentially. And then, get this, these are the instructions to the teachers for when they teach that particular part in class. Here's the instructions to the teacher. Probably some students in your class will make inappropriate noises and comments at the idea of anal intercourse. It is important to not allow disrespectful remarks because people have diverse beliefs about intercourse. This would be an appropriate time to use the values question protocol. And you know what that is? That is the guidelines for the teacher to just, you, the teachers have to make sure that they never interject anything about values or morality into the lessons. And so this is a way to help the teachers. Oh, you got to, you know, they got to stay focused. There can't be any questions of right or wrong when it comes to this information that they're giving to the students. And honestly, how does a person teach human sexuality and leave out morality? That sounds to me like the law of the jungle. That sounds like animal sexuality to me. And yet they propose that this is the best thing for young children to be introduced to and to be taught in this way. At the 7th and 8th grade, they are introduced to 7 of the 17 different types of contraception. Huge emphasis in this particular curriculum, by the way, on condoms, to the extent of, you know, they have to be shown the condoms themselves, and there are condom demonstrations, and the students have to show and practice that they are familiar with and proficient at being able to use a condom and apply a condom or place it. I don't even know what words to use, frankly.
There are none.
No.
This is beyond grotesque.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And,
mm-hmm.
and get, here, listen to this, too. Now, in addition to learning the step-by-step sequence for correct condom use, then there's, again, there's lots of information about LGBT information. And listen to this detail. Again, 7th and 8th graders. I did not know this until I looked at I was not familiar with this. Dental dams are rectangular pieces of latex used to protect both partners when oral sex is performed on the genitals or anus. That's information for 7th and 8th graders.
That would be called too much information.
Yes.
Too much of the wrong information. My goodness.
Should I go on?
Go ahead.
Okay, at the high school level. Then we're looking at all 17 methods of contraception. But this is where we just really see a huge emphasis on LGBT. That's where they define what gender identity is. And they define it as the deep feeling people have about whether they are a guy, a girl, both, or neither.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. Interesting,
neither, huh?
Yes.
Wow, that's good to know. I never had a problem with that somehow. I just kind of always went my way, and I thought that's what everybody did. When did we quit doing that, I wonder? That's odd.
It is.
Not to cut you off, Mars, you're doing an amazing job. I'd like to get John and Alethea in here a little bit and just get your take. John, you wanted to chat about...
I'm Catholic myself. I go to St. Bernard's Church here in Omaha. And in our archdiocese, Greg Schleppenbach, who's the executive director of Nebraska Catholic Conference, wrote an article about this, comprehensive sex and everything. But just a couple of his points that he was making I'd like to repeat on the air here. He says comprehensive sex education embodies an approach to human sexuality that both abandons and insults young people by largely dismissing their capacity to control themselves sexually. This approach reduces expectations and sex education to the lowest common denominator rather than inspiring and assisting young people to postpone using the sacred gift until marriage, which is in their best interest physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And secondly, comprehensive sex education presumes that communicating an expectation or acceptance of out-of-wedlock sexual activity will have no effect on increasing that activity. This is contrary to evidence in other areas of risky behavior. For example, the Nebraska Risk and Protective Factors Survey found that young people are 2 to 4 times more likely to use alcohol and other drugs if parents show any acceptance of alcohol use. It is highly improbable that this phenomena applies to alcohol and drug abuse, but not to sexual activity.
Some things are better left inside, and the toothpaste is better off in the tube. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd like to expound on that because I was a school counselor for years, and when I testified down in Lincoln against this at the state level, I said, why do we have low expectations for young people when it comes to their sexual behavior, and yet we have high expectations, and we should, for them academically, when it comes to sports. Mm-hmm. I was often involved when I was in the school system in groups to drug-free youth groups. You know, when it comes to alcohol use and tobacco use, we have high expectations. We don't say, you know, tobacco is bad for you, but here we know you're going to use it anyway, so here's one with a good filter tip.
Right.
You know,
right.
We've made great inroads into tobacco usage in this country because we have this mentality of we're not going to tolerate it, you know, and we have high expectations. Yet when it comes to sexual behavior, which is hugely important, this intimacy in our lives, we have low expectations, and we're basically saying to these young people, oh, you know, we know you're animals and you can't control yourself, so we're going to throw at them condoms and birth control. I mean, it's crazy, and it's degrading to young people.
As the host of Bells Unplugged, I'm becoming unhinged, unchained, and imbalanced. This comes from the depths of hell, folks.
Yes.
This is the work of the enemy. And he's a lion prowling around trying to devour souls, and apparently he's found quite a few in the governance of the Omaha Public School System, the unicameral, the teachers' unions, and Maureen Morris. My next guest later is going to be named Maureen, so you'll have to forgive me. Been a long week. We need to start calling these things out. They are spiritual as well as secular, political, cultural issues. And we need to call the nation to prayer and to really humble ourselves and ask God in his almighty justice. Elithia, I see you pointing at something. I was on what I thought was a roll, but I think yours is going to be better than mine. You've got the mic.
Right, exactly, and thank you. Yes, I believe the same thing, that they are functioning as the enemy himself, as they are attempting to kill morality by stealing innocence and destroying the next generation in Omaha, across our state, and across our once Christian nation, because this is such a huge movement coming from a national level, that there are over 11 states at the current time that have accepted this as a mandate within their state. However, currently how it stands, there is no mandate in the state of Nebraska for comprehensive sex education. It's only if this LR334 is introduced and goes through as a bill in January. So the parents do have an opportunity to stand up not only on Tuesday against this evil, but further pay close attention to what is happening within the political realm, as there is a movement there also.
Very important. Very important. What's the name of the bill again? Can you give us the number of that bill that's being projected?
We don't know the name of
don't
the bill.
Yet.
The number
okay.
probably will change. It was okay. Many of us went down and testified against the resolution, which that number was 334.
And I know Dave was down there many times for that. Dave, you've been auspiciously quiet here today. I want to draw you into the discussion. Where do we go from here, in your view? What's the strategy? What's the game plan? Well, let me back up a minute. You say what's on your mind. Forget my question. What are you thinking right now as you listen to the discussion, Dave?
Well, there's a whole area of, parental rights are being usurped. And, and Alethea, I want her to talk to that. But, we've talked around this a lot. But, we've had the privilege of some dialogue with the leadership within the Human Growth and Development Department at OPS. And that's one of the reasons why we pursued the FLASH curriculum, because, it was communicated to us that's where they were strongly pursuing. And the standards they had laid out before us, they were following this CECAS guide that Alethea talked about. But, in all the dialogue that transpired there, if we were to summarize it in a nutshell, the leadership was essentially leaving this as their premise, that they want to teach that consensual sexual activity of any type, and I emphasize any type, between school age children is perfectly normal, healthy, and appropriate. That's the takeaway from the leadership, from the dialogue that happened. And so so when you've got that thought process and supposedly this non-bias, it's pretty much an attack on parental rights. And so, Alethea, why don't you finish off on that area and maybe give some perspective directly on some of your involvement with Planned Parenthood.
Yes, Dave. Yes, I actually had the opportunity to go down and sit before a Planned Parenthood panel who was comprised of a Planned Parenthood educator, an individual that was, I believe, a legislative aide, and there was somebody from the AIDS Project, as well as a teacher, a health teacher that had been teaching for over 20 years in Lincoln Public Schools. And one of the comments that was made by the teacher was that there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't sit around the table with cookies and milk and with these children and talk about anal sex, oral sex, vaginal sex, dental dams, anything that, is basically expressed within this curriculum. And, of course, my heart sank as he went on and on, and they continually advocated for this sex education. But I also want to comment on the fact that, yes, it is a usurping of parental rights. I mean, these parental rights have been fought for with case law all the way to the Supreme Court. So I want, again, to remind the parents that you do have rights. You do have the ability to step in and say what your children will learn and what they should not learn, especially when it comes to this filth. I've had personal experiences. My daughter was read a book within the Millard School District. She's in preschool, and I was not made aware of this book that would be read to her regarding same-sex families.
Same-sex families.
Yes. So to make parents aware that there are things happening at the preschool level all the way through the high school, as far as the books that are talked about in their class, as well as the ones that can be found in the library.
What school district was that?
That was Millard Public School.
So we know these things are going on already, but as you can see from this curriculum that we're describing, it's going to get worse. And so we're going to emphasize the importance of coming to this community forum. Again and again, we're going to ask the listeners, show up for this on Tuesday, October 20th, and it's going to be held at 6:30 at the TAC building, which is the Old Tech High School, 32nd and Coming. I believe that's right, isn't it?
That's correct.
We have to protect the children, and so, listeners need to take action and show up for this. Otherwise, it's going to make its way through and be passed and be part of what's going to be taught to young people.
Okay, yeah. We're going to take and hold on just one second, John. We're going a little bit off schedule today, Nick, and I appreciate your working with me on this. This is the intersection of faith and reason. The time is 4:24. We'll take a commercial break now if we can, Nick, and then we're going to come back for a final segment with our SOS group, and we're going to talk about what to do in the next 4 days and beyond to deal with what I think is a real crisis in the lives of our children in the Omaha Public School District and across the state of Nebraska. Back in just a moment. Welcome back to Bellows Unplugged. I'm the aforementioned Mr. Bellows. This is KCRO, AM and FM 660 and 94.5. This is Christian Radio for Omaha, Nebraska, and the surrounding areas. It's the intersection of faith and reason. We're trying to add some reason to this crazy world today. If you work for the Omaha Public Schools in any capacity, I hope you're listening. And maybe you could talk to somebody down there at the administration building. Everybody must know somebody. There's only 9,000 people working there, okay? I don't know what any of these people do. I don't know if you remember the movie Wall Street, where Gordon Gekko was going to raid a paper company, and there were 250 vice presidents, and he stood up at a board meeting, a shareholder meeting, and said, for the life of me, I can't figure out what any of these people do, okay? And, you know, my mother started teaching at age 17 in a one-room schoolhouse in Ida Grove, Iowa. And she had all 12 grades, and they did okay. They didn't need administrators. Morris Bentley, you've taught in the Omaha Public Schools. I'm going to throw the floor to you, and please continue with your discussion of comprehensive sex education.
All right. Actually, not in OPS. We've lived in Omaha for 8 years. I taught in public schools in central Nebraska.
Okay.
But
I'm forgiven.
You are. But what we are hearing from OPS and some citizens is that, well, you know, parents don't do this, so the schools have to. And what we would say to OPS is, well, then what we need to do is encourage and equip the parents for this, that this is something that is, by rights, something that parents should be doing. This is best handled in the home by parents.
Very good, Mars. That's correct. As you can hear through the description of this curriculum, and with us having the opportunity to do such extensive research on the organizations, as well as the curriculum, we have found, as well as we hope you have found, that there's really no virtue, morality, or purity, chastity, and very little about abstinence or parental involvement within this curriculum. However, the Word tells us in John 1:5. That the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I tell you, being a very involved parent myself and just placing a lot of importance regarding this topic within our family and how we've handled it, in the midst of this research and seeing all this attack that's going to potentially be placed upon these children, God has stirred in my heart to begin a ministry. And I titled it STOP, as an acronym, which stands for Sex Talk Operation Parents. And we've actually started a website. It's going to be launched at the beginning of November. And again, it's sextalkoperationparents.info. This ministry will empower parents in an area where they have generationally been depowered. Because I feel that really when the schools took this over is really when the generational epidemic of parents basically handing this off to the schools. And Morris is correct, and that statement has been made by Planned Parenthood. Well, we have to do it because parents aren't doing it. And it was also said to me by a senator that when parents opt a child out of a program, they are basically put in a room to sit and stare. And I asked him, I said, well, what happens to those kids when they potentially learn nothing about sexuality? And he kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, well, it's not our problem. It's up to the parents. So then that further told me that this ministry needs to be started to equip parents with the discussion and putting it back into the home.
I wonder how it is the government and the school board believes they know what the parents are teaching or not teaching in the home. That's a pretty big assumption they're mm-hmm. making, isn't it?
Right. Yes. A dangerous one, yes.
You've been the acronyms person today, I have to say, and you've done a wonderful job right up to the stop sign. Very good.
Thank you.
John Dockery, I'd like to get your final thoughts on this, and then we're going to go to Dave Meyer.
Okay. Well, our main point we want to get across today is this meeting Tuesday night, which is a community forum at the OPS headquarters down at 3015 Cumming Street. And so I want to give you a little information about their the previous forum, which was in April, that I attended. So I'm just going to kind of describe some things here for you, in the end, trying to help you feel more comfortable when you go there, that you know about what's going to happen and why you shouldn't be afraid to go. Well, the last forum they had was regarding the phone survey that they did of OPS parents. And the results of that survey, and then they posted questions that we all sat at tables, different tables, and they had some discussion questions. However, and that's probably the way that they'll be set up at this one. But you can come as either just an observer or a participant, and all you have to do is just go in and sit down at a table, and you could flat out tell people when the questions come up that that's you're just there to observe. So if you're uncomfortable talking, just do that and listen to the conversation, and you'll still get some benefit out of being there. So don't be afraid. And the meeting starts at 6:30, but you should be there by about 6 o'clock because there's probably going to be a big turnout for this meeting. This phone survey, too, by the way, that they did, they're really relying heavily on the results of that about adding abortion, contraception, and LGBT and gender identity to their sex education. So they asked about those in their phone survey, and they got a high response of people agreeing that they should or add those things. But they were asking people these questions without having them know anything about what the standards are, what the actual content of the curriculum is, what the graphics are, and just how explicit this approach is to sex education. So their answers were totally blind, basically, in terms of what's actually going on here. So the transparency of OPS regarding this subject has been really bad. So anyway, after that, they had a meeting with the board in May, and all they did was they took all these responses, because they had somebody at each table recording them, and then they had 30 pages of notes on every subject, pros and cons, and they had pretty much all of them in there, but the presenters just basically went to the board and said, hey, you know, everybody's overwhelmingly in favor of adding abortion, contraception, LGBT, and gender identity to the sex education program. And that was it. And so all the people that went to the meeting never got any new information, like zero, and they provided all this information, and none of it was really used. So it was just an activity on their checklist of their timeline that they needed to get done in order to get the board to approve what they were doing.
It was pro forma due diligence, a boilerplate baloney.
Exactly. Well, it's right off, if you want to look it up, it's on the WISE website, which stands for Working to Institutionalize Sex Education. This format is right on their website.
We're being worked.
It's identical word for word.
Yeah, they're working us.
And they're another Planned Parenthood endorsed organization.
By the way, anybody who wants to do so and should ought to be all over Brad Ashford, our two senators, and our two outstate congresspeople, to defund Planned Parenthood.
Amen.
And if we can ever find anybody with guts enough to become Speaker of the House and actually do something about this, or Mitch McConnell, the other half of my weekly Old Pair of Loafers, which up until now has been Boehner and McConnell, but we lost one of the shoes. We're still trying to find the other one. But get rid of Planned Parenthood. Yes. It's the world's biggest abortion factory, and it's being paid for with your tax dollars. I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
That's okay.
I got carried away.
Well, right along that line, Clint, you know, one of our state senators, Senator Kintner, wrote a really good article in the Fremont Journal recently, and he said that we all know what Planned Parenthood's values are. They have none.
So that is worth.
But anyway, now getting to this meeting, this meeting wasn't on their timeline. So I don't know exactly why they felt that they need to do this, but anyway, they are, and it'll probably be set up the same way, the divide-and-conquer approach, which is to have everybody at separate tables, no opportunity for, or maybe an opportunity for questions. I don't know. There weren't at the last one.
Yeah.
But basically, they pose questions. We at the table discuss it amongst ourselves. They get the information. They go to the board next month and say, hey, all the parents are in favor of this, and the standards will be up for a vote. So at any rate, it's critical that you all take time to go to this meeting, and we appreciate you listening and hope to see you there.
And, you know, I think they added this to their timetable because they are getting some pushback, and that's what we want this forum to be, pushback to OPS, that the community does not want comprehensive sex education.
Yeah, let's push them back to about 1957, when the air was clean and sex was dirty.
That's right.
Dave Meyer, I'm going to call on you to summarize for us, if you will.
Well, what I think you've heard thus far is there's really kind of an abuse of the parental trust. Parents trust the educators. And, you know, parents are being taken advantage of. Their authority is being usurped. There is not full disclosure. And this issue is bigger than OPS. It's entrenched down in Lincoln within the state. And, you know, if we don't stop this, Lincoln Public Schools is already well under the way. You get a couple of the largest school districts to fall, and the state will more than likely get their way. And the criticality of OPS is there's 9 board members, and the majority are on the left side. It's very far left of center. And so the conservative vote doesn't have enough to stop the train. The only way this train's going to get stopped is by the citizens of this great community thinking that it is bigger and realizing that it's bigger than OPS, and they show up in the hundreds. You don't, as John said, you don't have to say a word. Just your presence will say volumes. You know, and on the to come back, though, to the real basics, again, our whole mission with sex out of the schools, our SOS squad. You know what? SOS, that's send for help, okay? Mm-hmm. We want to protect Nebraska children. So we need you to come out Tuesday. If you want to learn more, we've got 4 events over the weekend that have been asked for. So at King of Kings Church, which is out in West Omaha, they actually have taken 2 of their sessions during the morning. So you can come at 9:15 or 11 a.m. at King of Kings. In the evening, we have reserved the Westside Community Center, which is on 3500 South 108th Street. That'll be at 6 p.m. at the Westside Community Center. And then on Monday evening, we've had some great sessions, some dear sessions in the inner city and with a Hispanic community. And we're going to have another one where we'll have bilingual translation Monday evening at St. Joseph Parish at 6:30 p.m., and that's on South 17th Street. And so plug into those so you can really understand more of what we're trying to share. But do this not for yourself. Do this for the children of our state. They need to be protected. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Clint, for what you're doing.
You're the folks doing it, and I would like to thank Alethea, Morris, my good friend John, and, of course, all-time buddy Dave, the SOS crowd. And this is what citizenship is supposed to be. I commend all 4 of you. And please be at that meeting on Tuesday night. At least let these talking heads that think they run our kids, let them know there's some parents out there that disagree with that premise.
One other thing, you know, and God is moving, okay? We sense there is some pushback going on because we've already, you know, material's been passed around. And it's fallen into the other hands, and it's fallen into their hands. And I already know right out of the gate, they're going to probably take the time to refute a lot of what you heard tonight, this afternoon. And so you need to understand that. But the reality is you've got to be there. And, you know, really be thinking about you and I as parents. What are we doing? We need to take this back And this STOP program, Sex Talk Operation Parents, is one way that you can do that with confidence.
And I hate to bring a stop to this discussion, but we are out of time, unfortunately, for today. But what we'd like to do is have one or more of you back next week to tell us what happened on Tuesday night. And we're going to continue, as Bill O'Reilly says sometime, we're not going to let go of this one. Let's stay on top of it on a local, state, and to whatever extent we can, national level. I'd like to thank the four of you for being here.
Thank you.
On the intersection
of
faith and reason, AM and FM, KCRO, 669, 94.5, easy for me to say. I'm just a little bit emotionally spent from all that. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We're going to be joined by a good friend of mine, Maureen Ennis, from the great state of California. She's going to tell us what's going out in the land of fruits and nuts out there. So more good news. Back in a moment.